Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 12:46 p.m. That is Pacific Summer Time. Today is August 14th, and an interesting day today. I think there are three primary things that I want to cover in this broadcast. The first is the fact that stock markets, you can see here that this is the World Equity Index Futures page on Bloomberg, and it's all green. Except for Japan. Japan was down 130 points, and that bucked the trend relative to what we saw in the vast majority of other markets. And you can see, for example, that the Chinese market in particular, and I'll put up the charts in a moment, but the A-share index was up, the Hang Seng was up almost 2%, the IBEX in Spain was up 2%, the NASDAQ up over 1%, the S&P up almost 1%, and the Dow Jones, still trading around the 22,000 level, is up about 0.5%. Even Brazil, Mexico. So, I mean, this is a broad-based rebound. And that also helps to, I think, to emphasize the fact that what we have seen has been an uptick in, well, I think that it's more important to consider that this is the 14th of August. We're in the middle of the silly season. There has been heightened sensitivity to stories that may or may not lead to additional sources of worry at some point in the future, not least what's happening in North Korea. In fact, the USA's options are really quite limited. Obviously, they want to do whatever they can to limit the North Korean ability to strike the US mainland. But this is nuclear politics. If North Korea were to in fact threaten the US, they would absolutely ensure the country's in absolute total annihilation. They're surely not that self-destructive. And by the same token, the US isn't obviously under some duress before striking North Korea, considering the risk that it would have to a key ally, which is South Korea. But when we look at China, for example, it pulled back, and the pullback that it had over the last 2 weeks was pretty similar in size to that which we saw on one day in July, or the first reaction from the lower side of the range back in May. And now it has bounced and almost completely countermanded the downward dynamic that we saw on Friday. And when you look at the weekly chart, then that helps to highlight just how inert this market has been. Relative to the extreme excitement that we had in the A-share index back in 2015, this is a comparatively inert environment, and the index has bounced from the region of the trend mean. And the banking sector, which is a significant weighting in the A-share index, is back in the region of the upper side of the underlying trading range. And this is between here and the trend mean, which is about 50 points, is about where it should find support if this remains a demand-dominated environment. The renminbi, which has been among the strongest of global currencies over much of the last month, has paused in this advance. Now, when we start stringing all of these things together, again, there are articles that are circulating talking about the impending collapse of the Chinese credit system, the repercussions that that's going to have on the global economy, and that there is going to be an imminent crash. But we have to at least think about what it is that these prognostications are attempting to achieve. Well, on the one hand, it's a quiet time of the year, so they're attempting to gain column inches and readers' attention by making bombastic claims. And certainly there have been a lot of bombastic claims made both inside and outside the political sphere over the last few weeks. But the more important thing, it's a point that I have made in successive broadcasts, is that the Communist National Congress is coming up in either September or October. And it represents an incredibly important political transition within the Communist Party in China. And absolutely everything is being done to ensure that it passes off with as little fanfare as possible. There are there are five of the seven seats on the standing committee are up for that are going to be vacant due to age-related enforced retirements. And Xi Jinping has got a once-in-a-generation opportunity to install his people, and to really, I think it's not just enforce but secure his power well beyond his own political tenure. So the chances of the credit system collapsing before that event are, I would say, virtually zero. That the much more likely scenario is that Chinese assets are going to rally between now and the end of October. And what happens after that, and the repercussions of the party congress and the 5-year plan that is announced subsequently, will then have an impact on how the market performs subsequently. When we look at the S&P 500, it has been confined to this very consistent advance over much of the last year and a half. But particularly this year, reactions have been limited to about 50 points, and the largest one has been about 80 points. And so far, this one is an equal-sized reaction. And we have had a pretty impressive bounce in here today. A reaction of more than 80 points would be required to question the consistency of this advance since the November low. And even then, that would only suggest that we are back in a mean reversion environment. And what we've seen in Europe is a mean reversion environment, that it has pulled back, the Eurostoxx index has pulled back to the region of the trend mean. Yes, it was down in a dynamic fashion on Friday, but it has bounced in here today. It's up about 1%, and now it has just about completed a reversion back to the mean. It has come down slower than it advanced, and this continues to represent a bull market environment. And if we look at it on the long term, considering just how much Europe has underperformed, well, this then represents the potential that it could at least get back up towards the upper side of the range. And if we wanted to take a medium-term view, then the most likely scenario is that it will follow the Eurostoxx 600 higher. The Eurostoxx 600, which is heavily weighted by the UK, has been trading below that 400 level since 2000. And this is a 17-year range, but this range, this part of the range from the peak in late 2015 is quite different to what we saw previously. It has spent more time up here. This has much more the hallmark of a consolidation in the region of the upper side of the range prior to a successful upward break. And of course, the FTSE 100 has already broken upwards, and the FTSE 100, while not institutionally related to this particular index, in many respects represents a subset of this index, because just about every member of the FTSE 100 is a constituent of this index. And the FTSE 100 has broken up and away from its 7,000, its previous 7,000 point peak, and this continues to represent a bull market environment. And when we look at the Nasdaq 100, then it is somewhat overextended relative to the trend mean, and it has paused beneath this 6,000 level. It, I think, is quite interesting that we have had a pause in consolidation in a considerable number of both shares and indices in the region of these psychological trading levels. So it's 6,000 for the Nasdaq, it's 2,500 for the S&P 500, 22,000 for the Dow Jones, and it's $1,000 for both Amazon and Google, or Alphabet. Amazon has been ranging around this $1,000 level now for a few months, and certainly there has been an uptick in volatility, but it is finding support around this $950 area, where it has bounced on at least three separate occasions previously, and a sustained move below that level now would be really required to suggest that this process of mean reversion is going to be deeper. And Alphabet, which has also paused in the region of that $1,000 level, has been confined to a relatively similar sized pullback. This pullback is pretty similar to that we saw at the end of 2016. It's actually smaller than the one that we saw at the end of 2015, and reasonably similar although still smaller than the one we saw at the beginning of 2016. What we can also say about Google is that it has a tendency to pause in the region of round numbers, that it paused at 300, it paused at 400, it paused at 500, it paused at 600, paused at 7, paused at 8, didn't pause at 9, but did pause at 1,000. So we had a pickup in the pace of the advance, but it is pausing at 1,000. And provided it continues to find support in the region of the trend mean, then there is very little reason to suspect that we are in anything other than a process of mean reversion and another step within what has been a generally consistent advance over much of the time between 2008 and now. Then the other market that is, I think, really worth taking a look at here is oil. Oil prices were down in a dynamic manner in here today, down $1.50. Brent crude is now coming back down towards this $50 area, but it has broken the progression of higher reaction lows off the June low. It is increasingly looking like it is encountering resistance in the region of the progression of lower rally highs. And if that is indeed the case, then a countermanding upward dynamic is going to be required to question potential for lower to lateral ranging. And when we look at this, what has been a very volatile, very choppy, rangy environment over much of this year already, then we are now right in the region of the trend mean. But the trend mean is important in a trending environment, and you'd be hard-pressed to say that this is doing anything other than trending lower. So if it sustains a move below $50, then we'll have even greater evidence that it has encountered resistance in the region of the progression of the downtrend, and that the most likely scenario is that it is going to push back down towards the lows that we saw in June. And that is weighing on shares like ExxonMobil. ExxonMobil was unable to rally when oil prices rallied all the way from June until now, but it is certainly reacting to the fact that oil prices are coming down. It moved to a new reaction low in here today. It has held the progression of lower rally highs just about all year, and now there is the potential for it to extend that decline. This is not a bullish chart pattern. Royal Dutch Shell, on the other hand, was able to rally when oil prices were rallying, and it is now back in the region of the previous peak, and we're getting some consolidation in here. It wasn't down in any kind of measurable fashion in here today, and of course it is a majority gas company rather than an oil company, but of course we can say the same thing about Exxon. Exxon produces more gas than oil, but these chart patterns look quite different. 2000p represents really quite an important level for Royal Dutch Shell. And with this firmer tone on stock markets, then we are getting at least some evidence of some of the shares and commodities that rallied on safe havens, safe haven buying pulling back. So platinum pulled back by $18 today and is demonstrating some resistance in the region of that, again, a psychological 1,000 level. And I think it is going at least going to have some consolidation in here. If we look at the weekly chart, it has pushed above the 200-day moving average, and it has broken the progression of lower rally highs, but now it has to demonstrate that it can hold that advance. Personally, I took my profit. I've been holding platinum for most of the year. It's been in and out of profit, and it was rolled forward on two separate occasions. I concluded that I really should have been more activist, and I should have been selling when it was above 1,000, and now that it has got back to 1,000 and exhibiting resistance here, I did sell. I will look to buy it back again if it shows some evidence of finding support, but I've concluded I need to be a bit more activist about how to participate in this market, because it has not been trending. And then Bitcoin made global headlines in here today. We don't gain a lot by looking at the weekly chart because it is just going up so very quickly. So let's zoom in on the daily chart. It ranged for 2.5 months, or maybe not even quite 2 months, and then broke out above 3,000. There has been a catalyst in that the hard fork has been achieved. The market has not collapsed as a result of it. People are increasingly of the opinion that we are going to see greater trade through Bitcoin because the transaction times will be reduced and the market will become more efficient. But a move from 3,000 to 4,250 in the space of a week is a lot. And it is overbought in the short term. This has been an absolutely explosive breakout. What strikes me as is quite clear is that Bitcoin is moving much faster than we would hope to realize in either stock, bonds, or commodities. That the pace of the advance is dwarfing the kinds of returns that are possible in other asset classes. And of course, that is sucking in investors. And this is a clear acceleration. But of course, it is also an emphatic breakout from a trading range. And trading ranges are explosions waiting to happen. There is certainly the potential for a pause, a clear downward dynamic, similar to what we saw, for example, in June. Right in there. Would really be required to suggest that we're moving into an additional ranging phase. But this is an enormously powerful bull market. Part of the reason that I think that perhaps precious metals are underperforming is because a lot of the speculative interest is being sucked into these cryptocurrencies. There are a lot of people betting that a global economy that is increasingly digitally oriented needs a digital asset, and they are boosting this price to previously unimagined levels. But as long as it is holding the progression of higher reaction lows, as long as it is sustaining breakouts, there is no reason to question that prices can't in fact go higher from here, despite the fact that it is overbought and increasingly susceptible to some consolidation. Then we should also look at conventional currencies. The euro today was reasonably steady. It is pausing around this 120 area, again another big psychological level, but it has broken out in an emphatic manner. Now, I think it's also worth considering what's happening with the dollar index. The dollar index was a little firmer in here today, but it needs to break back above 94 at the very minimum to question the short-term progression of lower rally highs, but it is right in the region of the lower side of its range. What happens with both the pound and the yen is likely to have an influence here. The euro represents about half the index. The yen, or at least the dollar here, is right back at the lower side of a almost 4-month range here, and it was a little bit firmer in here today, but it needs to do more than that. It needs to break back above 110, excuse me, and do so in an emphatic manner. And the pound, it continues to hover here around the 130 level. It was marginally below it in here today. I think the most important thing that it has done has broken up out of that 6-month range a couple of months ago, and this represents a first step above that base. As long as it is holding the low that was posted back here in June, then we can give recovery the benefit of the doubt. But of course, there is practically no currency in the world right now that is more politically motivated than the pound. So what we can almost certainly expect is volatility. But of course, what happens, just going back to the yen, what happens with the yen is going to be important to the Nikkei, considering that it was among the weakest of stock markets in here today, that it is now back to 19,500. And it has been pausing around this 20,000 point level, and I've reiterated on a number of broadcasts that it needs to sustain the move above 20,000 and in a dynamic manner to reassert medium-term demand dominance, because this is a key level. It hasn't been able to sustain a move above 20,000 since 1991. What happens here is it could have really a profound effect on what's going on in Japan. And the Indian market was also a bit firmer in here today. That it has paused in the region of this 10,000 level, and I suspect that we're going to see some additional ranging as it regroups before sustaining a move back above that 10,000 level. There is a fair overextension relative to the trend mean, so the longer it ranges, the easier it is going to be for to hold its gains and then be able to push up. But we can't rule out the possibility that it gets a somewhat larger reaction if volatility increases once more. The point that I made in the Friday audio about volatility is in how it is calculated. And if we average out all of the data that we have, then a move like we saw on Thursday is like an outlier, and therefore it shifts the perspective in volatility because the previous trading environment has been so very inert. And the fact that that spike upwards that we had in volatility on Thursday was created by a 1% move on the stock market means that the vega has really been exaggerated because of the previous inert environment. So volatility is becoming progressively more sensitive to the equity market because the equity market has been so inert. That also means that if we continue to see an additional rally, then the likelihood is that it is going to go all the way right back down to levels that are below 10. And that a move of more than 1%, and particularly a move of more than 1% on consecutive days, would be required to send volatility above that 16 level that it saw on Friday. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I wish all the best to all of you.